إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد، my dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a hadith of Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my slave, I want and you want. And if you are satisfied with what I want, and if you obey me, then I will give you what you want. But if you are not satisfied with what I have written for you, if you are not satisfied with what I have given you, and you disobey me, then I will make you run behind what you want, then I will make you run behind what you want until you are exhausted, and then only what I want will happen. The issue of being satisfied with the decree, being satisfied with the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the foundational principles of our aqidah. Because this is the essence of ubudiyat, this is the essence of being a slave of Allah, is to understand the fact that a slave is one who has no will of his own. What does the slave want? He wants what his master wants. A slave does not have a will, a desire of his own. A slave can only want what his master wants. If a slave wants something and the master wants some other thing different from what the slave wants, then this person is not a slave. And he has his own will, he has his own desire. And therefore, the issue of being pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed is a basic foundational principle of the aqidah of the ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it's very important to keep this in mind as we go through life. One of the biggest benefits in this world itself of being happy with and being satisfied with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that it gives you contentment. It takes away frustration, it gives you contentment. It keeps you in a state where you are not unhappy with your lot in life. Now, this does not mean that you don't make effort. It doesn't mean that you don't do something to better yourself. All of that is permissible, all of that one should do and constantly do it. But also one needs to be clear in one's mind about where to draw a line. Where does it end? This issue of constant growth, right? Today which we seem to work on and seem to live on. Constant growth. Continuously there should be growth. Every year, year on year on year, month on month on month, there should be a growth. If it's a business, then the business must continue to grow. Growth for its own sake, growth for the sake of growth, growth for its own sake is the philosophy of the cancer cell. Not benefits. Growth for its own sake. It grows and grows until it kills the human being itself. And when it kills the human being itself, the cancer cell also dies. The cancer cell has no life outside the human being. So it doesn't make any sense for the cancer cell to kill the human being. But it does it because it grows for its own sake. It just grows for the sake of growth. It doesn't see whether, I'm not implying that the cancer cells have all this intelligence. I'm just saying that, I'm drawing an analogy to say that it does not look at what is the value of this growth. What is the worth of this growth? Growth for its own sake is the philosophy of the cancer cell. So therefore, in our businesses, in our lives, also one must remember this and say, am I a cancer cell? You know, am I just growing for the sake of growing? Because you see people chasing the dunya, in which then when you have that philosophy is when the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts. When the time for salah comes, what do? When the time for, for the growth you need capital, then the issue of saying, where do I borrow this money from? Is that halal, not halal? Then you go fatwa shopping until you find a fatwa where it says halal, halal. When the sources of income from being halal, they start becoming, foggy. You are not sure, is it halal, not halal? And then you go fatwa shopping until you find somebody who says, no, as long as, the opposite of what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as long as one dirham is halal, everything is halal, no problem. The opposite of what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. So, the point is that why does it happen? I mean, all of this happens because of greed. Where does ambition end and where does greed begin? That's the big issue. And that's something that individually we have to solve for ourselves. There is no number on it. Islam does not prescribe a specific number to say that ambition ends at $100,000 and greed begins $1 after that or something. No. There is a issue of contentment. There is an issue of contentment, of judging and saying where does this end. And that is why this constant want and constant need, I want this, I want this, and then chasing behind it and putting yourself through all kinds of hoops in order to try to get what you want, is something that is in this dunya, it is something which is the recipe for frustration, for despair, for all kinds of bad things. And then of course in the akhirah is a different matter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, that's why in this hadith of Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned and said that in the end only what I want will happen. So get this clear in your mind. It's no matter whatever you want, only what Allah has written will happen in the end. So therefore, get yourself satisfied with the degree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how do we know what is the degree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? First of all, making Salatul Istikhara, for example, for whichever issue there is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Salatul Istikhara, the dua itself says that, oh Allah, if there is good for in this, for me, in deen and dunya, make it possible, and if it is not, then make me satisfied with whatever your decree is. So, using Salatul Istikhara as a tool in order to deal with issue of what should I chase and what should I not chase. Second thing is that do make reasonable effort. Obviously, I am not saying do not make effort, because we should make effort. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this dunya a place of effort. So, you must make effort. But make a reason. Now, what is reasonable? Reasonable is effort that has dignity, effort that does not contravene the usul of Islam in any way. This is an effort which also does not take you away from your other fara'id. For example, you are in your business from morning till night, you don't know what's happening in your family, your children don't get your time, because you are, children are somewhere, you are somewhere else, and there's no upbringing of the children, your wife is left alone, she's like a widow, because apart from sending money, there is no help if she wants anything, if she falls sick or whatever, there's no help. So it's almost like she is a widow. This is not reasonable at all. This is highly unreasonable. So therefore, even with regard to your own, with the duties that Allah has given you, then those duties must be fulfilled. So make sure that these things are fine, that you don't go against the laws of Islam, and that you fulfill all the other duties that you have, and that there is dignity in what you do, in the sense of in the interest of business, don't go and beg people and demean yourself. Allah did not say that you have to demean yourself in order to earn your living. No, do it in a dignified manner. So, as long as these things, three things are there, alhamdulillah, we can make all the effort we want. But other than that, putting yourself to all kinds of pain and suffering and making life difficult for yourself and others, all seeking, some desire, even though, and again, I am not saying here the desire itself is haram, it is not haram. Your desire itself might be halal, but even in the halal, it's a matter of this dunya, but even in this halal, how much effort do we make? And just to give you a comparison, if you look at other things, for example, how much effort do we make to bring khushu into our salah? Now, when was the last time that you exhausted yourself trying to bring khushu into your salah? I prayed the whole night trying to do 2 rakat of salah without my thoughts going anywhere. Did this happen? Ever? But we do 10 times more than that, running behind this dunya, and then we say, no, that is halal. So, salah is haram. Salah is even more halal, no? So, how come we don't make that effort with regard to the deen? How much effort do we make with regard to Dawatul Islam, for example? constant, anytime somebody says, leave your home, go out in Dava, we make big tamasha about it. How can I ignore my family? You are not ignoring your family when you are sitting in Saudi Arabia or somewhere 11 months in the year. Then the family is not being ignored. So, giving excuses does not make something correct. Right. So, be clear in our mind that we must make the effort in order to win the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as far as the dunya is concerned, of course, make effort, make reasonable effort, make effort with dignity, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He will provide, and that's His responsibility. So, let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with His responsibility. Allah is not irresponsible. Allah did not promise something and He will not deliver. He will do. What effort we need to make, let us make. But let us not go beyond the limits which are prescribed. And very, very importantly, bring your heart into a state of contentment with whatever is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is very, very important to do. I was in Malaysia, somebody came to me and they said, husband and wife, they came to me and said, please make dua. We have been married for 7 years, we don't have a child, my wife is desperate to have a child. So I said, I'll make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you that in which there is khair for you. Yeah? Don't just make dua for child, because there are people who make all these duas for children and then they go and do all kinds of highly painful and stressful things, and then they, you know, artificial insemination and all sorts of things, and then they have a child and the child is deformed. The child is mentally retarded or something. Now what do you do? You got a child. And it's a child, it's not a kitten or a puppy or something, you can't give it away or you can't throw it somewhere, no. So now you got this child, and what do you do? I know friends of mine in, you know, different places, different countries of the world who have children who are mentally retarded, who are now in their 30s, 40s. It's a very, very difficult situation for the parents, it's not easy. So now you asked for this child and you want this child and you went to did all kinds of things and you got a child who's not sahih and salim, who's not perfect. Then what do you do? So, make dua for khair. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me this thing with khair. Make reasonable effort. Don't stand on your head for it. And inshallah, if there is khair for it, Allah will give you. And if there is no khair for it, alhamdulillah, bring your heart at peace and say, I am a slave of Allah and I want for myself what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for me. That's why Sayyidina, very famous quote of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said, Araftu Rabbi bi fasqi al-azayn. He said, I recognized my Rabb by the breaking of my desires. Azaim, not even desires. Azaim is my goals, my ambitions, my aspirations. By the defeat of those, by the breaking of those, when I did not achieve that aspiration, he said, I recognize my Rabb. Huh? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to put us through those trials, but at the same time, bringing your heart to a point where you say, what do you want? I want what my Rabb wants. Khalas. I have no want. I want whatever my Rabb wants. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then I will give you what you want and I will make you happy in that. And that is the whole issue of contentment. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our hearts content and to save us from all forms of frustration and all forms of troubling ourselves unnecessarily, and to give us the sweetness of ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we become the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are happy to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely and totally. In the kitab wa sunnah, in the ahkam of Allah and in the sunnah of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi al-Kareem wa alayhi wa sallam. Bi rahmatika ya rahmatullahi.